May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 630. What foolish worms are we, how prone to start aside, and in our troubles flee from Jesus' wounded side, to wait on self or something base, instead of trusting sovereign grace. Hymn number 630. Read Psalm 27 and 28. Psalms 27 and 28. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbours, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavours. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up for ever. May the Lord bless his word, and help David in prayer.
Now to humble ourselves before the high and holy one that inhabitest eternity. O Lord, we read that thou canst not look upon iniquity with the least degree of allowance, and we come before thee now as sinners through and through. We have sinned from the day of our birth. Lord, we cannot keep from sinning. And, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt hear us now in heaven, thy dwelling place, as thou dost look upon one perfect in his righteousness, who has made atonement for the sins of all his dear people. Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who suffered for the sins of his people. He bled, he died, and full atonement's made. For thou hast risen again, Lord Jesus, to show that we are justified if we are thine. O Lord, we beseech thee, show us thy salvation. O do grant each one a right sense of what they are before a holy, heart-searching God. Grant that we may come with weeping and with supplication as those of old, and that thou wilt hear us in all our mourning over our sins and after thee. O Lord, it is mercy we need. It is life we need. It is to know that we are in Christ Jesus, that we are seen in him, that we are blessed with eternal life in him, that he has made the peace for us. If he has full atonement made, O Lord, do come, we pray, and give us true praying hearts. Oh, that we might not just be left to utter words before the High and Holy One, for thou dost see the very heart. Oh, but to come with confession of our vileness, our nothingness, that our only hope is in thy blood. Remember us, O Lord, for good. Eternity is a solemn sound to those of us especially who are now near the ends of our lives. And Lord, who can say when the end of their life will be? For none is too young to die. Oh, then prepare us each, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Make it our daily prayer that thou wilt prepare us for eternity. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe, and wash us in his blood. So shall we lift our heads with joy among the sons of God. Lord, we do mourn the evil thoughts that continually beset us, our wanderings of mind. And Lord, we are like Ezekiel. We have a chamber of images, those things which have gone before and cause us such pain. O Lord, cleanse us in the fountain opened at Calvary. Wash us. Make us clean. Oh, do not leave us to rest on false hopes that it will be well at the last. We long for the seal of the Holy Ghost, that we are born of God, that thou hast not left us to perish in our sins, that thou hast loved us from all eternity, that thou wilt not leave us nor forsake us. Though for a time thou dost cause us to walk through dark paths, seemingly far off from God. O Lord, thou didst bring back thy people from their long captivity. Thou didst do them good and bring them again to the promised land. O then arise for our help. Lead us by thy Spirit. O turn off our eyes from beholding evil. O may they look straight on, that their one desire might be that we might view thee as our Saviour, Jesus, in the sinner's place. We thank thee as we look back for past mercies, We remember all the way the Lord our God has led us, and thank thee for all the good providences thou hast bestowed upon us, providing for us in all the things of this life. What a mercy if we can look back also and say, he spoke to me there, that we have heard the voice of the Most High, that thou didst not forsake us then. And Lord, may we prove whom once he loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. Oh, may we obtain grace to persevere, to continue on until thou shalt call us. Lord, prepare us for that great day. It is with us, some of us, who are obviously near the end of life. It is a prospect which fills us with great concern. Am I his or am I not? We do ask that thou remember each soul here, that not one might be left out of the secret. Lord, we pray thy blessing upon each, from the oldest down to the youngest. And may the young souls be made true seekers after thee in their youth, as thou hast promised that those that seek shall find. O grant, Lord, that we may be found here a living people, those whose hearts are after thee, if haply we might find thee, whose longing desire is to know that their names are written in heaven, in thy book of life, that thou didst make an eternal covenant to redeem their souls from eternal death. Lord, we each need these great things done in our hearts, and not to be left to rest on false hopes. Come, we beseech thee this day, oh, may it please thee that in these services there may be something done by the Holy Ghost which shall last to all eternity. Thy presence we cry unto thee for, that thou wilt have mercy, that thou wilt pardon, that thou wilt pardon, and there may be the seal that thou hast pardoned those whom thou hast reserved, those whose names are written in thy book. So we pray, grant us a real cry in our hearts. Do come and bless thy word to us. Help Benji in reading the sermon. But Lord, we pray that thy word, thy precious holy word, may be light and life and power to our souls, and that thou wilt get to thyself all the glory, that thou hast done it. Oh, can we look back and see that thou hast not left our souls destitute of mercy? Then, Lord, put a song of praise into our mouth unto thee, the Most High God, that thou hast remembered us in our low estate and not cast us away. We do thank thee for the kindnesses thou hast shown to us in this house of prayer. We would remember thy great goodness, that thou hast preserved to us a place to meet, thy precious word, thy servants to come and preach to us the gospel. And Lord, that these things are not withholden from us, as they are in many nations. Oh, help us to pray that in those nations, yet thy spirit may work in souls and grant the witness that thou art with them even under great persecution. Lord, hear our cry for them. But now we ask, do come up with thy servant this evening. Oh, we pray that there may be a word in season for our souls, something to comfort us, that thou hast not left us altogether, that thou wilt have mercy, that thou wilt return in mercies, and that thy word and thy work may prosper here yet. So we pray for him, help him through this part of the day, and be with him this evening, and grant each of us an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We remember all our congregation. Lord, some are not here. Be with them where they are. Remember them on thy day. Bless thy word to them. Visit them. O Lord, this is the great thing, to have a visit from the Lord, to be granted divine life, and our souls respond in love to thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. We would pray for our nation at this critical time. Lord, remember our nation. We can see nothing but evil in the higher ranks. But may it please thee, Lord, thou who hast the hearts of all men in thy hand, that there may yet be good done in our nation, and the wicked laws may be withholden from us. We would pray for those who are suffering in war, and may it please thee, Lord, yet to bring about a peace. Remember each of thy people under terrible conditions, and uphold them by thy grace. Lord, do keep us on praying ground. We have no help or hope in self. It must be all from thee. O come and bless thy word to us here, but remember our souls in all things that concern each one of us. We humbly ask of thee. And we would lie low at thy feet, nothing but dust. Nothing we can give. It must be all a gift of thy grace to remember our souls, and not cast us away. Here in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive our every sin. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 247. 247. O Lord, I would delight in thee, and on thy care depend. To thee in every trouble flee, my best, my only friend. Hymn 247. try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Jesse Dells. You'll find the text in the first psalm we read, Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. In the 13th verse, the author describes an experience, and he refers to it as a personal one. Not just something that another person has passed through, but his own experience, as was the case with David in the Psalms. And it is somewhat noticeable that there is a striking contrast between his language in the beginning of the psalm and his language at the end. In the first three verses particularly, he deals with an unusual confidence, as though he had no fear whatever of an enemy or whatever might rise up against him. Although the wicked might come upon him to eat up his flesh, he says, he has no fear, they stumbled and fell. And though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, and so on. Because the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? The canopy of divine love and power seemed so spread over him that all his opposers were just as nothing to him. And yet in the close of the psalm, he refers to coming to such an extreme condition and state as to be ready to faint, and says that he would have fainted unless, that is to say, if there had not been something great supporting him and holding him up, he would have fainted. He says so. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That is what kept him from despair and from fainting. And so, my friends, it must be while we are here in this earthly pilgrimage that we are subject to changing conditions, both providentially and spiritually. It has never been designed that a child of God should have uninterrupted joy and never have his peace marred by anything. Neither has it been designed that he should always be down in the depths, ready to faint. But it is an amazing mercy to know our God. I have often thought that even when David was down in the depths of dejection and trouble and distress and well nigh in despair, yet he still seems able to claim a relationship. He does not appear to question his interest in his God, whatever his circumstances may have been. And we know that in the life of David, as we have it recorded in the book of Samuel, there were a number of things that might well reduce a man to a fainting condition, so to speak. As you know, he had some exceedingly painful things to bear with from the time that he was anointed by Samuel till the crown was placed on his head, and after that even to the end of his days. So it is very truly that he could say, I had fainted, and many times, unless. It is such a sweet word, a word which seems to open up something secret, which is a privilege of one who believes in his God. Something held him up. Is it not more or less, though not in the same degree, the experience of a child of God to come sometimes to such a pass as this? To be ready to faint and to give everything up and make shipwreck of it all. Have there not been such times with some of you when certain things have brought you to such a pass that you have felt you could go on, not go on any longer? And yet you have proved your God to be faithful to his word and promise, though it may have been at the 11th hour that he has appeared and brought you through. The experience in the Holy Scriptures of certain other characters reveals this. In fact, it appears that every godly character in the Scriptures had to pass through a trial of his faith, and that the trial in itself brought them to this extremity of being ready to faint. I wonder if you have ever known what this is. Could we not take the case of Abraham, who received that command from the Lord to go and offer up Isaac, that child of promise, and to offer him up as a sacrifice, after all that he had been through concerning him, and all the waiting that there had been for him, and the trial that came upon the promise? Yet now he must offer him up. Well, it was enough to bring a heart faint, was it not? And yet it is so evident and so beautifully clear that Abraham believed in his God, which kept him from fainting or resenting the divine command, counting that God was able to raise even his beloved Isaac from the dead if he had made that final thrust, from which also he received him in a figure. So also with Jacob, when he was in such distress, when his sons returned from Egypt, and two had been lost, and now there was a claim upon Benjamin. He must be taken, he says. All these things are against me. These things will bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave. And I suppose he meant it. You can almost hear him saying, I am sure they will. I shall never endure it. I do not know how to stand up against it. Neither did he when it came to Benjamin. But even so, although he may have felt ready to faint, still there was a secret power that held him. And he lived to see a remarkable and wonderful deliverance, so that he nearly fainted, not through the sad reports, but for joy, when he saw the wagons and realized that his son Joseph was still alive. And so it has been with others. It certainly was with Joseph, though he must have felt a heart fainting sometimes when he was in irons. As we read, his feet were held in irons when he was in the prison. In fact, it says of him that until the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord tried him. So we have to see that there has been sometimes a sharp trial of faith that has brought many to what may be termed a fainting condition, a great test of endurance. Has not that been so? And are not the Lord's people brought to such a pass as this? Yet we find with David that when he returned to his city and found it a smouldering ruin, and everything carried away, and his own company threatening to stone him, for they wept until they had no more power to weep, yet even then he encouraged himself in the Lord his God and did not faint. Many things can bring us to what we may term a fainting condition. Many things in the experience of the soul, apart from outside conditions. When the terrors of the law enter the conscience of a sinner convinced of his sin and guilt before a holy God, it may bring a fainting condition, a terror, a fear, a dread of the judgment day, a dread of what lies before, a shrinking with a kind of terror at the thought of eternity and what it involves, in case we should be condemned forever and fall under the curse of a broken law. Oh, this can bring to a condition of fainting, spiritually speaking. Many have been brought to a condition of fainting, even physically, when they have been under the terrors of the law and under the power of Satan's temptations, when the enemy has so assailed them as to bring them to a distracted condition. Not only so, but when, with all the attempts to pray and to cry for mercy, there seems no response. when everything seems all to no purpose and the sentence of death lies heavy upon the conscience. This can bring, and has brought many, to a fainting condition. And when the days of darkness are many, when the Lord hides his face, David says so here, also in Psalm 28, he says, "Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." He does not actually say that he will go down, but he says, "I feel to become like them that do." The Lord's silence under certain conditions can bring one to a fainting condition, and many other things besides this. How different is this language from that in the first verse? "The Lord is my light and my salvation." There is no darkness there, no question in anything there. There seems to be a sweet satisfaction there. His hope is firm and steadfast. He is lifted above all his enemies. He views divine omnipotence and an interest in an almighty God over and above all the threatenings against his life and his persecutors and all things. But still there were times with the good man when he came to a pass, as here, "I had fainted unless." It would appear that the particular circumstances that occasioned his fainting condition are described in the 12th verse, for he says, "Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty." "I had fainted under it," he says. "I had fainted under it, unless." What a beautiful word this is. This is a word that comes into the experience of a living soul. There is something that holds him up. Although he may feel sometimes as though he will sink and never rise again, yet still he proves the truth of what we read in the book of Deuteronomy. "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." So that even if we feel like fainting, we cannot fall through them. They are the arms of divine love and the arms of divine power. Arms usually indicate power in the scriptures, and David felt this, you see, for he could say to others, "Wait on the Lord." Do you feel ready to faint? If that is so, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, fainting heart. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. You cannot strengthen your own. He might say, and neither can we, but he directs to one who can. "He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." "I had fainted unless." This expressive "unless" is used in a later psalm where David says, "Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence," or "quickly dwelt in silence" in the margin. Unless, here is the secret then. And it is not a real one with a child of God, this unless. Something holds us up. There is something secret. There is a divine power which preserves us from despair and from making shipwreck of faith. And what is that which was such a help to him at this particular time? What was it? He says, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." That is what kept the good man from fainting. And that can keep you and me from fainting, although sometimes we may feel that we shall. He says, "I believed to see the goodness of the Lord," and that kept him from fainting. Now there is something about the way this is expressed. He does not say, "I had fainted unless the goodness of the Lord had held me up," but "unless I had believed to see it." It was believing to see the goodness of the Lord that held him up. And there is something very beautiful about this. He does not just say, unless I had seen it, but unless I had believed to see it. He had two things, faith and sight. Unless I had believed to see it. He had a faith view of the goodness of the Lord, although he felt to be in a fainting condition. But he had something even more than some view of the goodness of the Lord. He felt his interest in it and could believe in it. He felt a confidence in it in his soul, and that kept him from fainting. I had fainted unless. Here then is, first of all, that faith's view of the goodness of the Lord that is strengthening and confirming to a waiting and living soul. It is not only that faith's view which may be given, but it is that confidence and assurance and experience of this goodness. Not only some sight of it, but an experience of it. I believe to see it, he says. I saw it and believed it, and I felt the power of it in my heart, and it kept me from fainting. Well, has it not been with some of you that when you have come to a pass, something mysteriously, it may be, something has just borne you through so that you have not fainted, given up, made shipwreck, sunk to rise no more? Something secret, a secret prop held you up. And what could this be? This goodness of the Lord. Well, it can be several things, but I will take it like this particularly. It was the goodness of the Lord in his word and promise. It was that rod and staff that supported him that he speaks of in Psalm 23. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he felt a sweet peace of mind in that deep, dark valley. Why? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now this was the goodness of the Lord to him. Well then, have you not known this, some of you? To can feel the confirming and comforting power of a divine promise that has been a support to you and has held you up, strengthened your faith and hope in a covenant-performing God. And so you have been brought through. I had fainted unless. Not I had fainted unless there had been something good in me, some power of mine, some inherent strength that I possessed, or some great effort that I made. No, it was the goodness of the Lord that he felt. Yes, and I believe I have known what it has been to be brought through a period of trial under a sense of the goodness of the Lord to me in a promise that has lifted me above the trial, although I was in the depths of it, and that kept me from fainting. So that I am not speculating or imagining something when I say that the sweet efficacy of a divine promise in your heart as the goodness of the Lord to you will keep you from fainting and enabling you to do as we have been singing in the hymn, to cast your care upon him. Oh friends, it is a wonderful mercy to have a religion in which there is some contact with God. If there is not contact with God, it cannot be a real religion. Anyone can profess to be a Christian, but contact with God in our soul's experience is that goodness of the Lord to us in his coming to us in a time when we are ready to faint, and to support and to deliver. To deliver. I have known the time when I was in the depth of trouble in the days of the First War, but I knew what it was to believe, to see the goodness of the Lord in a promise that he brought into my soul when I was as near to fainting as I could be, so that I was completely lifted above all. And in a moment or two, it was as though I had no trouble at all. Well, the Lord can soon transform things in your soul's feelings, although there may be no difference actually in the circumstances. But maybe the Lord has brought his people into a condition of fainting by certain providences that have come upon them to try their faith. And it must be so while we are here below, because faith, though the smallest, must surely be tried. But if the Lord in his divine wisdom brings his poor dear people into certain providences to instruct them and to bring them to a fainting condition, he will not leave them to sink in it. He will support them in it and bring them through it. I feel sure he will. Further, the goodness of the Lord. Here I may take to be the goodness of the Lord in the gospel. If a little of the precious gospel comes into your heart when you are in trouble, it softens you, brings you down, produces repentance, humility, faith and love. And you will get as far down into the dust as you can before his holy majesty, and yet feel the sweetest worship there. I feel sure it is so. Oh, what words can express or describe the goodness of the Lord in the redemption of his poor dear people, who in themselves are sold under sin and are in a hopeless condition, as all of us are. What a revelation of the goodness of the Lord we have in the Trinity, in the Eternal Father in making choice of his people as an act of his sovereign will and purpose, and adopting them as his own before they were ever born or before the world was. His dear people were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, chosen in Christ unto the adoption of children. They were predestinated and brought into a relationship in the covenant of grace before they were born. Oh, what a revelation of the goodness of the Lord is this blessed covenant of grace. And when the eternal Son of God, what a manifestation of the goodness of the Lord we have in him, the eternal Son of God, who in the fullness of time assumed human flesh and was made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. Although they were adopted in the covenant of grace from eternity, yet when a precious Christ is manifested to the soul, and an interest in his redeeming love and grace is felt in the heart, then you receive the adoption of sons. You receive it, and you can look up to the heavens and say, "My Father, Abba Father, I know when I could and when I did." Oh, it is something to have the goodness of the Lord fill your heart so as to break it to pieces. Then too, what a manifestation of the goodness of the Lord we have in the substitution of the Lord Jesus Christ in his sufferings in the garden and on the cross. Contemplate his agonies, which were more than our minds can conceive, and all for his poor dear people, who in themselves were enemies and who were under the power of Satan and running the broad way to their destruction. Oh, it is a mercy to know something of the gospel. I have not so very much longer here, I know, but I do want to feel more and more of the precious gospel in my soul to keep me from fainting, for there are plenty of enemies within and without. Then again, contemplate the goodness of the Lord in the Holy Spirit, in quickening the elect of God into life in due season, convincing them of sin, and in revealing the Lord Jesus Christ to a poor, sin-convicted sinner, and in applying the atonement in a taste of forgiveness. Oh, how great, we may say, as it is in another psalm, oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up. Where was it laid up? I would say it was laid up in the covenant of grace and wrought out. Where was it wrought out? In the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And where does it become effective? in the conscience of a poor guilty sinner when the Holy Spirit takes him in hand and awakens his conscience and brings him to feel his condition. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That is, presumably David means, while he is here upon this earth as a living man, although he may also contemplate that better land that is to come, which is in truth the land of the living, because there is no more death or pain or sorrow or crying, for there the former things have passed away and death has passed away. That is the land of the living, and that is the land that his waiting people hope to enter one day, if it may be his gracious will. So it is, beloved friends, now whilst we are here, David gives us a timely injunction. Wait on the Lord. Oh, but you may say, I am ready to faint. Yes, but he says, wait on the Lord. Oh, but all things all seem to go against me. Yes, all the more reason why we should wait on the Lord. But I feel to be in such darkness and bondage. Yes, I know, but even so, wait on the Lord. Take your darkness and bondage to him. Take your trials to him. Take everything to him, sins and all, and lay them before his blessed throne. Wait on the Lord. Why, the Lord is good to such. The prophet says so in the Lamentations. The Lord is good to them that wait for him. We read a great deal about this waiting, do we not? In the prophecy it is said, they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Oh, this waiting is a large part of the exercise of a living soul who longs to find his God and who may feel to lack something that his soul needs. And so it is that although your standing may be secure in God's account, yet you are uncertain on your own account until the Lord comes and bears his blessed witness with your spirit. Oh, how often it may be that prayer is timely. Assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear thy witness with my heart that I am born of God. There is such encouragement in the scriptures to wait on him. So says the psalmist here, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. And you will need some courage. This is what the Lord said to his servant Joshua when he was appointed to take the people through Jordan into the promised land. Be of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be of good courage. Oh, but it is a struggle, is it not? It is a struggle sometimes. But it will be worth the struggle. I remember as a boy hearing my dear father say that it be worth a lifelong struggle to be right at last. And so it will. And while we are here, we shall be struggling with the powers of hell till Jesus bid us go. Oh, wait on the Lord. Has he not been better to us than all our many fears often? Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait on the Lord. May the Lord help us then, for these are dark days in which we are living, and the power of the precious gospel is sadly withholden in these solemn times, and the days are unspeakably sad. But still the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. Wait on him. You wait on an omnipotent God. You wait on that God who has said, is anything too hard for me? And he will not fail thee. Oh, may the Lord help us then and favour us with this experience. For I do not know. Some may be in a fainting condition even now. But the psalmist says, I fainted unless. And do not forget that word unless. It is a beautiful word. I fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Pickett will preach this evening, Mr. Chapman on Friday evening, and Mr. John Hart next Lord's Day. And after the last hymn, will Stephen please close in prayer. Our last hymn is number 106. Thus saith the Lord to those that stand and wait to hear his great command. I have a sinner to renew, and lo, this charge I give to you. Pull his polluted garments off. Here, soul, here's raiment rich enough. Clothe thee with righteousness divine, not creature's righteousness, but mine. Hymn 106.
Thank you. For, Lord, we have been met to worship thee, the holy and infinite God. For that which has been right, do get thyself honour and glory in it. Help us to remember the things we have heard this morning. And when we are fainting, come and deliver us, forgive our unbelief, give us more faith. And oh, that we might have more joy and peace in believing. Forgive, Lord, all our sins. We cannot even worship thee as we would. But oh, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for thy gospel. Wash us thoroughly from all unrighteousness. Plunge us in that fountain once opened for sin and for uncleanness. We pray thou wilt come with us tonight. Bring thy servant with thy word. Open our hearts, open our ears to hear thy voice, to receive the word of God, that it may bring forth fruit. And remember us all for good in all the way we must each go. How often we need thee in the land of the living. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.